Welcome to the PCI CEO Spotlight Series, where we visit with the CEOs of some of America's top private companies, as rated on the Entrex Private Company Index. For more information on Entrex and the Private Company Index, visit privatecompanyindex.com. Hi, I'm David Wolf. For this edition, we're joined by two members of the executive team from a company called Reklamer. We're joined by Angie Singer-Keating. She's the CEO and co-founder. And Bob Dornick. He's the head coach and president of the company. Founded in 2001, it's a women-owned company and provides security services throughout the life cycle of critical data for its customers. Reklamer services include a wide range of related activities, including data breach prevention, audits, risk assessments, computer security, data recovery, and a whole range of forensic like services and products, including recycling and disposal of computer media and hardware. Joining us on the line from their headquarters in Tyrone, Pennsylvania, is Angie Singer-Keating and Bob Dornick. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be with you.
If you would, and Angie, you may want to take this, share with us the beginnings of the company. What events led to the creation of Reklamer?
Well, faithfully enough, it was watching a show on the Discovery Channel. I saw a show about the recycling of computers done by a really huge company in Canada. And I just happened to say one day at work to our other partner, Joe Harford, that I saw this show and it was really interesting. And we worked in software development at the time. And I said, this might be something to take a look at. And we began to do research. And this was around the Y2K. So there were tons of computers that were needing a place to go and die. And that was really how the concept came about. And then after we began to build the business plan, it became very clear to us with things like HIPAA that, the healthcare industry, specifically privacy, was going to be huge. And the need to destroy the data on the computers, I felt, was probably going to surpass other issues around the disposal.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Reklamer is, of course, a top growth company, as listed on the Entrex Private Company Index. And by the way, congratulations on that meteoric growth. It's quite a trajectory over the past several years. How do you explain the success and the growth?
I think part of the success, maybe a major part, is we have surrounded ourselves with great employees, teammates. The people we have excel at what they do. We're big believers in empowerment, really defining what outcomes we want to achieve and letting people take to their own devices to get there. And it's a really family-friendly, employee-focused atmosphere, and I think that has really enabled a lot of people and subsequently the company to flourish.
I thought it'd be good to dig into some of the services you provide. If you would, take us on a tour of Reklamer and the various products and services.
Well, it's a great question. And right now we're currently working on an evolutionary chart because it does take a little bit of imagination to figure out how we went from being essentially the computer junk people when we started to experts in data recovery and computer forensics.
Yeah.
The beginning, as I said before, was around the disposal of the equipment, but very quickly we realized that the data and the destruction of that data was going to be important. And as we began to do the data destruction, having come from project management backgrounds where quality was a really big deal, we knew that we had to be able to validate what we said, that when we told customers data was gone, it was truly gone and could not be brought back. And so we began to work with data recovery professionals to implement a system in our own building of being able to attempt data recovery on drives we had destroyed to validate our destruction process. And we became very, very good at data recovery and decided to begin offering that as a commercial service in, I believe, 2003.
Mm-hmm. How interesting.
And
yeah.
So, again, another offshoot of data recovery, in about 2005, we got our first phone call where someone said, hey, I need data recovery because an employee tried to cover up some bad things they were doing before I fired them. And that, I knew from being married to a prosecutor, was probably something criminal and that this drive was going to have to be handled in a different way. And so that began our evolution into computer forensics and forensic data recovery for litigation. And then through that, we also began to see when we were in facilities and we were talking to people that so much of the risk that they were putting themselves in had to do with not managing the computer from cradle to grave. Things like letting computers sit in hallways, and we were seeing so much risk that we began to get very good at helping companies figure out where their high-risk areas were, and we brought on to our staff computer systems auditors, information security managers, and those types of professionals who could really kind of take what we knew we could do and put it on steroids and make it an offering that our clients could really believe in and know that when we came in to help them mitigate risk, they were really getting top-line service.
We're visiting with Angie Singer-Keating and Bob Dornick, their principals at Reclamere. That website, www.reclamere, that's reclamere.com. I was going to ask about innovation, and it sounds like some of the products and innovations you've created were naturally born out of an organic need of the customer and sort of your own process of working on something else.
Yeah, that's true. I always wanted us to be the absolute best at everything that we do. But, you know, innovation without money is just another great idea that never gets to happen. And so all of the credit for letting us survive and actually thrive to let the innovation kind of take root and grow really goes to Bob Dornick for being able to manage the cash flow and really handle our finances in a way that allowed us to survive through some lean times. And it also goes to Joe Harford because we had these great ideas about why people should destroy data, but that was kind of an abstract concept to sell. Why should I pay you to take my old equipment away and destroy the data when the guy down the street will come with his pickup truck and take it away for free? And it was really Joe Harford's ability to sell the value of the service that they were getting that has really led to, you know, that the two of them kind of enable me to live the dreams and make the dreams a reality.
I can feel the synergy in the room as we're talking here and the way there's so much cross-pollination going on between certainly the three of you and then beyond. Your company has nearly fourfolded from 9 employees in 03 to 34 at the end of 08. I was curious what challenges, if any, has this presented, this growth challenge, and how have you managed?
One of the things that we did 2 years ago when we were only at about 15 to 20 employees was we hired an HR manager, and our accountant called me and asked me if we were crazy because why did a company our size need an HR manager?
Yeah.
And that person, she also now also wears the hat of our marketing manager as well, but she has really freed me up to do all of these things. And I think the biggest challenge for our staff when you have this kind of growth is simply the fact that a manager who maybe is incredibly capable of managing 3 people may not be as skilled or talented at managing 10.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to manage from a psychological perspective, from a loyalty and honor perspective where you're so grateful to them for being there with you in the beginning. However, now comes a need to bring someone in who's maybe over them in the corporate structure. So those are some unique challenges. And it, you know, as much as you want to promote people from within and grow your own people from within, sometimes the growth is so fast and so rapid that there just isn't time to do that. And so it's a delicate balance to try to help them and continue to bring them along and sometimes we did very good at that, and sometimes we failed miserably.
Sure. I know you're very proud of the culture that you provide for your community of employees and also for the contributions you continue to make in the extended community in that area. How do you continue to shape and maintain these values and culture? What are some of the ideas around that? And finally, what's it like to work at Reclamere?
I think an employee or a teammate could answer that better than I could.
Right.
But we feel like we try to live the values every day of family first. And it's an easy thing to say, but when the rubber meets the road and you're extremely busy and somebody's cat dies or somebody's furnace breaks and you say, look, here's $300 out of my pocket. Go get your furnace fixed and pay me back when you can, or take the day off and, you know, go bury your cat. It sounds silly, but it's the kind of thing where people really appreciate that we go to bat for them. And then, you know, the reciprocal is that they end up going to bat for us. We also have a focus on doing what's right for the customers. It's sounds cliche, but you know, everybody says they're customer focused, but we try to, what we say is look over the horizon and understand what our customers' unspoken needs are going forward, and that helps us to innovate. And the team here really loves that, the fact that they're solving problems that our clientele don't even realize they have yet. So everybody gets buy-in. The executives all have open door policy, so everybody feels like they're an important part of the team, which they are.
I know you've been continuing to expand your geographic presence in certain ways into the Washington, Baltimore area and others. What's on the horizon for Reclamair, and what kind of growth can we expect moving into 2009 and beyond?
I think that one of the most important things is that we continue to focus squarely on the small, medium business market sector. We have kind of a favorite analogy that we use around here called the skinny whale. You know, everyone may know who the number one bank in the world is. Reclamair is probably not the company suited to do that work. However, not many people know who number six or number nine is,
yeah.
But there's probably a good chance they are a Reclamair customer. And so by going after the skinny whale and making them a really, really big fish in our pond, we can deliver exceptional customer service. And we think that that focus on SMB with the fanatical customer service is really a key driver for growth going forward, as well as continuing to pursue those services in our innovation that are, so to speak, recession-proof. Banks have to have their systems audited, regardless of how well they're doing financially, regardless of whether there's a recession going on. Hospitals have to dispose of information in a compliant and safe and proper manner, whether or not they're in financial distress or not. And so focusing on those services that are largely driven through privacy regulation really is going to be a strong factor for us.
Great company. Again, I can feel the energy is just bubbling in the room. You guys are terrific. We've been visiting with Bob Dornick and Angie Singer-Keating. They're principals at Reclamair. The website, www.reclamere.com. Reclamair.com is the company. Top growth company is rated on the Entrex Private Company Index. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Great pleasure.
For more information on PCI, the Private Company Index, visit privatecompanyindex.com. The PCI CEO Spotlight Series is heard exclusively on the Small Biz America Network.